Meeting for Tuesday, March 6, 2018. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Jim Sykes.
Here.
Matthew Beck.
Here.
George McKee.
Here.
Ted Leonard.
Here.
Dan Mayfield.
Here.
Barbara Doty. Randall Kowalke.
Present.
You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Let's take a look at the agenda. Anything the members like to pull from the consent agenda? Seeing none. Any other changes to the agenda? Seeing none, the agenda is approved as presented. Pledge of Allegiance. Could I have all our librarians stand up and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Take a look at the minutes of the preceding meetings. Are there any changes to the regular meeting minutes of February 6th? Any objections to those minutes as presented? Hearing none, minutes are approved as presented. Agency reports. City of Wasilla, Mayor Cottle is here.
Mayor Halter, Assembly Members. Bert Cottle, Mayor of City of Wasilla. I have just a couple items tonight. First is, I know it's kind of early, but we want to get ahead of the school system. We're looking for a camp host that wants to camp out for the summer at Lake Lucille Park. Get free RV site, you get water, sewer, electric, and all that. Plus, you also get paid. So if you know anybody that you don't want camping in your front yard or the relatives coming, that's a good place to put them. Also, coming up on March 23rd to 25th, the Matsu Outdoor Show, that'll be at the Menard Center. We have over 100 vendors coming for that three-day weekend. Also, Boomtown Derby Dames Roller Derby is on the 24th of March from 7 to 9 in King's Chapel. Easter Egg Hunt is on March 1st at the Sports Center. And also, I want to kind of give you an update. We appointed our police officers to the DEA Task Force, and that's in partnership with Matsu Borough and Matsu Health Foundation. So both Palmer and Wasilla now have somebody assigned to the DEA Task Force, and that's a very good thing. Thank you, sir.
When was the Easter egg hunt?
March 31st.
Christmas.
Thank you.
City Palmer, I don't believe I see Mr. Wallace or Mayor DeVries. City of Houston, nobody. School district, anybody here from the school district tonight? We had a work session last week and we had a lot of school folks here. How about the report from Joint Assembly School Board?
There's no report at this time, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, public relations. All the Didrod Mushers, the top seven or eight are out of Nicolai. Left about 1:30 on their way down to McGrath. I'm sure they're trying to position themselves for the 24. That's my report. I'm sticking with it. Mr. Moosey.
Yes, good evening. First, we have a report from our friends from the library.
Good evening, Mayor and Assembly. Hugh Leslie, Recreation and Library Services Manager. I want to take this opportunity to introduce a couple people in the crowd. Back here we have Nancy Bertels from the Sutton Library, Ann Yaden, who's our former librarian at Talkeetna, is now on our library board, and Joe Cassidy, who's our librarian in Big Lake, as well as our consultants from Library System Services, Debbie Joy, Library Marketing Director, and Tom Poor, Senior Account Executive. They're going to give you a presentation tonight on a strategic plan for the borough libraries. It's a project we've been working on with them since October. Began work on it in August and got them under contract in October. They've gone through an extensive process of meeting with not only our librarians, library boards, but also the staff that works there, and most importantly, the public, through a series of face-to-face meetings as well as surveys that were passed out. You should have a copy of this in your packet. They will do a PowerPoint presentation for you at this time. If you have any questions, they will be around after the presentation and possibly through the end of the meeting.
Mayor Halter, Assembly Members, my name is Debbie Joy, and this is my colleague, Tom Poor. We work with Library Systems and Services, and we are so happy to be with you tonight. We are going to share a brief report on the library's strategic plan, and we want to have an engaging conversation. We look forward to your questions at the end. Thank you for selecting Library Systems and Services to provide strategic planning for the Mat-Su Borough Libraries. Working with the library staff, patrons, community, Hugh and Jill has been a pleasure. It's an honor to collaborate with people that serve their communities with such dedication and help plan a strong future for the libraries. We really do appreciate the opportunity. Now more than ever, public libraries are much more than books. Leaders are pushing 21st century libraries to be community living rooms where people gather to learn and engage, and they're working like crazy to get there. Borough libraries have a huge advantage in that they are already centers for this kind of community connection. One message from the public survey that came through loud and clear was the Mat-Su community appreciates and respects their library staff. Borough libraries are ahead of the curve with this focus on the customer experience. Libraries are taking a page from the retail and for-profit worlds and focusing on merchandising, cross-selling, user-friendly wayfinding, and strolling reference. Strategic plans are often described as roadmaps, directions for reaching a set of goals. But unless we understand where we want to go, a roadmap is not much use. So for the borough libraries, our destination, or what we're calling our desired end state, is to serve patrons with emerging material formats, technology and ideas, and embrace innovation and best practices to improve library service. To get there, we identified key themes. We want borough libraries to support a love of reading, serve as focal points and community resource hubs, play a central role in education, and maintain collections that meet community needs. We developed three strategic goals: expanding access, supporting learning, and building community. Our planning process started last fall with background research, on-site visits, personal interviews, and an online survey. We submitted a draft plan in December and worked with the librarians and Hugh through revisions in January and February. The plan is a direct reflection of the needs and wants of borough citizens. Nearly 300 voices provided input through in-person focus groups, phone interviews, and that online survey. From library patrons to board members, input from stakeholders makes this plan truly tailored to the needs of the borough. A shared mission, vision, and values put us on the same page. They give us an ideal to get behind and work toward, and they remind us that the work that we do every single day helps people in our community. We encourage sharing the library's mission, vision, and values widely, and encouraging the community to ask questions. The mission of the Mat-Su Public Libraries is to encourage lifelong learning by providing free and equal access to information and technology, and to provide a safe venue for community sharing. The vision is Mat-Su Public Libraries are safe and welcoming spaces that create and encourage stronger community connections and enrich quality of life. The libraries value respect, integrity, independence, collaboration, and friendliness. As we mentioned, the libraries are beloved public resources, and staff here is a big reason that the people use the libraries. Each community and each library is unique, yet we did find some opportunities to centralize efforts. With no state budget increases on the horizon, funding is a key plan consideration. Changes in public funding are forcing libraries across the U.S. to economize and seek private philanthropic support. As you know, the borough is growing very fast, and library service areas extend far beyond the town borders. In just 1 year, 2014 through 2015, the borough population grew 2.5%. And while the median age here is only 34, the retired population is growing rapidly. Borough libraries are being affected by the aging population. Nationally, there are about 50 million people aged 65 and older in 2016, and that number is projected to double to more than 98 million by 2060. So libraries across the country are challenged to create programs, services, collections, and adaptive technologies tailored to the senior market. In the plan, we suggest the libraries offer programs and adaptive technologies for seniors. In order to reach the goals we described earlier, that desired end state, the plan offers specific recommendations in six key areas: collections, programs, marketing, staffing, technology, and facilities. In collections, or books and materials management, the national best practice is to replace branch-level collection development with a centralized model in which a specialist manages the process. This library professional tracks how well each title performs and makes data-driven selection decisions. The plan recommends a borough-level position be created to manage collection development along with some other tasks. Other collection recommendations include opening shelf space for displays and merchandising, emphasis on mobile access, and appeal for popular fiction donations, and that can be either books or money, to increase variety for frequent borrowers. Balancing the purchase of ebooks and paper books continues to be a challenge for public libraries, and it is considered in our plan. Ebook circulation has seen some significant growth in the U.S. since 2006, and in many cases it made up for a decline in print circulation. However, ebook sales really plummeted in late 2017, and there are some indications that library ebook circulation has plateaued. So for the moment, we are recommending a balanced approach with a slight emphasis on print. As hard copy DVDs and CDs give way to streaming digital, libraries need to manage that transition. The Hoopla digital streaming service has been successfully deployed at about 7,000 libraries in the US and Canada. Canopy is a similar service that focuses on documentaries and independent films. Working with the Alaska Library Consortium to invest in such a service would add value for the community. Sharing and replicating some library programs can save staff time, and budgeting for a few technology tools to give young patrons some hands-on experience are recommended in the plan. Focusing on programs geared toward career development as Alaska's economy changes, and focus on programs for parents would support literacy efforts. Ongoing research in early childhood development repeatedly confirms the high value of literacy services for children aged birth to five. On average, there is a 12% return for every dollar spent, for every public dollar, invested in early childhood services. It is possible that the borough will see a decline in young children in the next few years. In 2016, the birth rate in the U.S. was the lowest it's ever been. And as a result, we might see some decrease in demand for preschool programs. For libraries everywhere, the pressure to collaborate with public and private sector organizations is greater than ever. Libraries are partnering not only with educational institutions, but also social services and cultural organizations. For the borough libraries, strengthened school partnerships and increased nonprofit partnerships can result in new services. For example, lending some non-traditional items like tools, sewing machines, and even cake pans. Marketing is also a strategic priority for the borough libraries. Across the U.S., libraries are intensifying efforts to brand and market their services and making better use of market research tools. The plan recommends that borough-level position that we mentioned earlier be responsible for centralized library marketing, including an enhanced web and social media presence. In January 2018, Facebook had 214 million active users in the U.S. That is 67% of the total population. Best practices include social media that's updated daily with clear goals and target audiences. Off-site promotion at post offices and tourist attractions, encouraging positive word of mouth, and hosting a borough-wide library celebration event round out our marketing recommendations. Staffing is perhaps the single most important element in patron satisfaction. As librarian positions open, the plan recommends hiring starting the hiring process early to allow outgoing staff to assist in training new people. Safety was a major element in the feedback we received. For safety, best practices suggest that we work toward a minimum of 2 staff members at each library during all open hours. Focus on staff training, replacing on-call with permanent part-time staff, enhancing all staff training days, and leveraging volunteers will help optimize efficiency. And finally, working toward consistent hours of operation at the libraries will help meet patron demand. Longer hours were a frequent request we saw in that online survey. Technology is it's just a constantly moving target for public libraries. There's still a big gap in access to the internet and digital devices. In 2016, 13% of Americans didn't use the internet at all, and 27% did not have internet access at home. We don't have exact data for how many people in the borough have home internet access, but we do know that the cost is relatively high and that some homes are just too remote for access. Lots and lots of borough residents rely on the libraries for internet access, and the plan recommends budget for expanded library Wi-Fi. This situation kind of highlights the strain that all public libraries face, which is serving populations that have iPhones and laptops and all kinds of devices, while also serving those who lack basic computing skills. Libraries are challenged to provide basic computer access and stay on top of the tech curve, and that's a tall order. Library websites, catalogs, patron accounts, reference services, and even self-checkout are increasingly accessible via mobile devices. Providing a more seamless way to review library accounts and check out materials via mobile is recommended in the plan. Standardized wireless printing, investigation into assistive technology, and increased use of the one-button recording system at Talkeetna are also recommended. Facilities at the borough libraries are an area of strength and an area of opportunity. Nationally, public library design is focused on creating welcoming, comfortable, and attractive destinations that can accommodate people in a hurry, as well as those who wish to stay and linger. And we see that working beautifully at the Sutton and Talkeetna new facilities. Our stakeholders agree that a new library building is needed at Willow. As the effort continues to generate funding, the plan recommends focusing on advocacy. This approach, which is generating public awareness of the Matsu Foundation grant, the important role the library plays in the community, and the need for a new facility, is recommended until more public funding becomes available. The plan also recommends a short-term emphasis on security. While we're working toward that goal of having 2 employees at every location during all open hours, an alarm system is recommended. Redesigning the driveway to address safety issues and expanding the parking lot are recommended at Talkeetna. Over the longer term, furniture and shelving resets are recommended at Trapper Creek and Big Lake to create more community and quiet study space. The next 3 slides provide a strategy map, and they include specific activities and timeframes to accomplish the plan goals. We divided the execution into 3 phases. Short term is right now, March 2018 through October 2019. Medium term is November 2019 through May 2021. And long term is June 2021 through December 2022. And you'll find a full description of all of these activities in your full strategic plan. Again, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate your support, and we really appreciate all you do for the community and for the libraries. And we'd be happy to take your questions.
Questions? Assemblymember Doty, then Assemblymember Leonard.
Thank you. Very nice presentation. Through the mayor, it just occurred to me that as we've lost a lot of our bookstores, just with the changes that have happened, it's very interesting that the iBooks have flattened out. I thought about the time I've spent in the libraries and bookstores and what I've enjoyed. And one of the things that is missing in our libraries, and I would like to pose this, is access to food and beverage. And I'm not suggesting that the libraries open up to food and beverage shops, but I wonder if it's, and this is a legal question, is it legal for a food truck to be parked on borough property to provide such a service, not inside but outside. And with that, are there other places in the country perhaps that have tried that kind of an approach?
Absolutely. So I can't speak to whether it's legal in the borough. I'm sorry, I don't have that information. But I can definitely talk about food in the libraries. There is a, and the borough libraries do this as well. There's a USDA summer meals program that our borough libraries participate in. And I've also seen a USDA food truck park in front of a public library and the kids come out and get their food that way. We have a library in, LSNS is a library in Germantown, Tennessee that has lots of food trucks come when they have programs. And so that's a really wonderful way to get the community together. So food and books, and we want to be careful about keeping our beautiful libraries nice, but generally food tends to work.
Just a quick follow-up. As a physician, I can tell you the birth rate is down.
You're not seeing those babies?
Senator Leonard. On the birth rate.
Yes, I'll stay away from that. Just a really quick question, and I know that we're concentrating on the borough libraries, but how were, in your strategic planning, how were the cities involved at all? City of Wasilla, the Palmer Library, and were they involved, or in the strategic plan, and then as you move forward, are they going to be involved in, you know, efficiencies and effectiveness of the whole
sure.
library
so,
system?
That sounds like it's a good question and one that's been considered and talked about a lot. So our scope for this particular project was the five borough libraries. Okay. We definitely did some research into the Palmer and Wasilla libraries as just kind of how they work and some of their statistics and things of that nature. And we talk about, in the sort of introductory material in the plan, we talk about how the networks used to operate. But for this strategic plan, we were focused very carefully just on the five borough libraries.
Any follow-ups?
No, I think I...
Somewhere with Sykes. Yeah. Senator Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Through the mayor, I thank you very much for doing this study. And my ears perked up when you mentioned this one-button recording studio. What is that all about, and what is the purpose, and who does recording, and for what?
It is a, and the librarians can describe it better than I can, but it's a simple system that the public can use, and they got it through grant funding at Talkeetna. And it's a way to record audio and video, and it's a great tool for youth. Adults can use it. Podcasts, I think video can be recorded. So it's just kind of a neat way. In libraries, we talk a lot about how important it is to let kids get their hands on technology, understand technology, and understand how to use it. And that's a great example.
Okay, well, thank you very much. As one who misses the card catalog, I still haven't run into a librarian who misses it, so... Great update.
Senator Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As a solution to some of our concerns about the library, staffing came up, of course. So do you have a sense of how many additional staffing we are talking about as far as meeting that two-person goal during the operating hours?
Right. We did not drill deep into exactly what that would look like, but we really, that was such an important and consistent message from stakeholders, patrons, board members, staff, everybody we talked to talked about safety and security. And so we really felt like that was something important to address in the plan.
Hey, Senator Doty again.
Sorry, just to follow up and through the mayor, people have used those audio recordings, one-touch options to record StoryCorps, particularly for elderly populations that want to tell their story. And we have some rich stories in the Valley. It's an opportunity for someone to record for history, kind of their experiences.
That's really cool.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's great. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Moosey?
Yes. You know, based on many of your concerns and input, our Public Works, Capital Projects, and Planning Department have been working on the potential for a road bond issue. So tonight we have a presentation from Mr. Ben Coleman, and also too, I believe you have a handout of just generally thought of staff-wise as maybe some possibilities for a road bond package. So Ben, it's your show.
All right, thank you, Mr. Moosey, Mayor Halter, members of the Assembly. Let's jump right in. So the Mat-Su Borough is requesting Assembly support for a new road bond package, which will provide critical new infrastructure desperately needed for the long-term well-being of the borough. These projects were selected because they will deliver a maximum benefit to as many people as possible, given the current financial situation. And we'll have something for everyone to see in a little bit. Due to the importance of what we're asking of you, the Assembly, please feel free to jump in at any time with questions. To describe the situation at its very core, the borough is dealing with rapid population growth and development, and insufficient road connectivity and all of the consequences of that, which we'll get into, and then finally, not enough money to deal with all of to fix all of our problems at this time. So to start out with high population growth, as many of you are aware, the Mat-Su Borough was the fastest growing in Alaska, with a 2015 population of 100,000 expected to almost double in 20 years by 2035. So the idea is we need to anticipate the changes that come with high population growth and then plan accordingly. Second, rapid development. And along with rapid development, there are few existing connections to get from Route A to B, which means that a lot of traffic is filtered onto just a few set routes. And there are a lot of issues with that, such as congestion, and et cetera. So the idea is, so instead of simply reacting to current problems, we need to anticipate future development and plan accordingly. Finally, funding, something that we're painfully aware of. A few points to stress. There's no state capital funding expected through 2025, which is a significant decrease from what we've enjoyed in the past. Finally, any DOT projects, most of those are, sorry, any investment in the Mat-Su Borough coming from DOT funding is federal pass-through dollars. And so those projects we're talking parks and Glen Highways and KGB, not specific borough-owned roads. And so essentially because of reduced outside funding, we need to, the borough's gonna have to pay a larger portion to make these, to complete these projects. To jump into benefits quickly, one of the most obvious is connectivity and congestion relief. If I can direct your attention to the graphics, we'll see, you can see a connected network on the left side and a disconnected network on the right side. A lot of you might recognize that right picture. That's what a lot of our development currently looks like. And so some of the difficulties that come out of that are congestion whenever we're talking construction, during accidents, when fire services or EMS services need to get somewhere quickly. This can quickly complicate the situation if there's not enough redundancy in the system. So finally, building a connected network reduces congestion and can lead to less expensive right-of-way acquisition. To provide a really good example, currently, many of you will recognize this. You have Wasilla Fishhook on the left, and then you have Palmer Fishhook on the right. To get from these two points, Texile Drive to Texile Road, you can see at the very bottom, it looks like a very direct route. The shortest route, according to Google Maps, it takes 8 miles to get from those two points. But if we think strategically and make a simple fix, we can turn an 8-mile drive into something that can be completed in under a mile. So if you think about the implications of that, that's 8 miles being driven, that's 8 miles of wear and tear, and when there's sufficient wear and tear, that's 8 miles that need to be repaired, and it's we the people who shoulder the cost of that maintenance. Finally, the safety benefits. If you notice in your spreadsheet, one of the elements is the Safe Routes to Schools program, the MSB, MSB School District 2018 Pedestrian Projects. The idea is making it safe for kids to get to school who are walking and biking and all of the health benefits that come from that as well. Many of these projects also have safety benefits designed to reduce the number and severity of crashes. The economic development piece, we have the obvious, the obvious consequences of building these projects, improved freight movement, improved access to jobs for residents and employers, improved access to local businesses, and to provide, I think, a really cool example that capital projects actually produce new tax revenue and they can increase the value of land significantly. So if you look at the ranch subdivision, just a quick bit of history. In 2015, we're talking one lot, which is 247 acres, with an assessed value of $1.9 million. At 2017, so just 2 years later, when there's the agreement to put this road in, all of a sudden we see subdivision and construction happening. That 1.9 turns into $9.6 million assessed value. And then finally, 2018, after the completion of the Trunk Road South project, that jumps to $15.5 million. So we're talking over 3 years, a 700% increase, which is a really incredible change. So if you're like me, a picture helps a lot. This is just another way to visualize the same information. Finally, this is the piece that I'm most excited about. This is an interactive map which lets you visualize what you're seeing here. So each of these projects has a corresponding project here, and again, you can click on individual road pieces, and it gives you all of the information. So everything you see on the handout, you can see here. I have it divided based on assembly districts for your ease of reference. So for example, we don't want to forget. Here we go. We don't want to forget the school building up in Talkeetna. So if you have any questions, again, feel free to jump in at any point. This information will be made available. It'll be released publicly so anyone can view at their leisure, take more time to go through some of these. So again, to break down these specific projects, there were a number of themes that came out of them. So the first one was new connections. So we're talking drastically cutting commuters, commute times for people getting to work, et cetera. And then the gasoline, so it's cheaper for our residents over the long haul. Lower road maintenance costs, which I touched on again earlier. Finally, less air pollution just coming from vehicles running for a shorter amount of time. Maximizing the benefits. If you saw on the map, you might notice that a lot of these projects they're concentrated near the core area. And this wasn't favoritism and it wasn't on accident. While many residents live outside of this area, they're still buying their groceries, they're still dropping their kids off at school, they're still going to work in these specific areas. And so because of that, they're putting extra wear and tear on here, and a lot of them saw benefit in developing this area for to benefit themselves as much as possible. And so again, with limited financial resources, in the interest of due care, it's important that we maximize the possible benefit to as many people as possible. Regarding public involvement has been part of the process from the very beginning. These projects here, they pull heavily from the long-range transportation plan, which you adopted in December of last year, and then again, the 2017 road survey, which you might be familiar with, where the borough asked the public to ask what is most urgent to develop right now, and then again in 5 years. So if you look here, these were the results of the road survey, and again, you'll notice a lot of overlap. So I can sit here for a while, or we can keep moving in the interest of time. You'll notice some of these. I do want to point out that they say state ahead, and that's because we expect the state to pay for these, not the borough. And then what I think is on many of our minds, the financial breakdown. What is this going to cost me? How is this going to affect my property values? Sorry, my property taxes. So what we did is made a quick chart, so it's an easy lookup. So for those of you who appreciate more of the financial complexity, we're talking a $50 million bond with a 20-year lifespan at a 0.451 mil rate, which is standard for given the borough's AA bond rating. So anyways, if you look at the property value column on the left, find what's closest to yours. This is the annual, you'll see the annual tax increase to the left. So let's take, let's say your property value is $200,000. So annually, we're looking at a $90 increase. And again, we understand that a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck. So any talk of a property value increase, it can be of legitimate concern to a lot of people in the borough. And so what we've done is we've broken it down to daily. So again, take the $200,000, that's 25 cents extra daily for a $50 million bond. So if you can cut out a cup of coffee a week, or if you can cut out, you know, a pack of cigarettes or, you know, that kind of thing, we can get a lot of really incredible benefits from that. So thank you for your time.
Questions, Senator Kroenke?
Yes, I have two questions. One, the estimate cost on the handout we had is $86 million.
Yes, that's correct.
And we're talking about a $50 million bond package, so I may have missed something. But
No. That's my mistake. So basically, if there's any way that you that as the assembly you can select $50 million projects, we identified $86 million worth of high priority urgent projects. The idea is so kind of among yourselves at least finding $50 million.
Okay. The second question was, did the big board, the RSA boards, weigh in on this?
Yes, and I have email correspondence to show you. I met with them last month. And I'm currently in conversations with Mike Shields and Steve Cleary about getting a resolution of support at their next meeting.
Thank you.
Yes, of course.
Mr. Moosey, then Assemblyman Wood.
Yeah, just want to do a clarification, and thank you, Ben. So what we did is we put together a guess. A decision on what roads are going to be done is going to be here at the assembly table. So we are not... what we did for demonstration review is our best guess. But when we did the bonds, I believe in 2012 and 2014, there are many changes here at the assembly table that we anticipate that will happen here. And this is just for general discussion so you could see how this would lay out, how it could be spread about the borough, and what the cost would be. And I know he talked about, saving a pack of cigarettes a day. I think if everybody did that, you'd probably do a $100 million bond. So, because those are what, eight bucks a pack now?
Oh, yeah.
How much?
11.
Senator Leonard.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
So, yes, I mean, even looking at something like the $1 million assessed property value, we're talking $1.24 a day, so.
Senator, go ahead. Well, we can go into that part of it later, but a question for you, through the mayor to John or you, is this the recommended priority for the borough too on these roads based on safety value, safety, traffic, and all those values?
If you're asking for all those values, we would take a second look, and I think there would be some changes. What we tried to do is show this is what is a possibility, and also too what we try to do is spread it throughout the borough, because as you kind of spread out, there's less traffic on some of these outlying roads. But you know, if you're looking at a bond and looking at serving the entire community of the Mat-Su borough, you do, I mean, some of those priorities kind of change depending on location. If that's our directive, highest safety, highest traffic, these projects will look different than what we've submitted. But I would say these are just for demonstration, and Jude may have a comment on exactly how this shakes out.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Manager, Assembly members, this list that you see is a very detailed analysis that went into that list in terms of cost estimates. There were questions that were asked. Okay, we had other road bonds and we did not finish some of the roads. Well, we did not finish some of those roads because those roads were put on and not analyzed by borough staff. So the estimates that accompanied those roads were incomplete and substandard. Therefore, we were unable to either finish the road or complete them to what some standards that other folks wanted. What you see there was a compilation of probably 100 roads that were analyzed by borough staff. That list that you see there has very detailed estimates to complete those roads. And again, as mentioned, it's for you to consider. We do know that there will be some shuffling that will go on, and tried not to, this time, this go round, hamstring folks as much as maybe we did in the past.
Mr. Leonard?
Just to follow up, as we go down the process, and I understand the need to politically, if you say, spread out the monies, the investments to all parts of the borough, but I definitely would like to see on whatever type of sheets we get on each of the projects some type of value system of, like you were saying, that what type of investment does this bring by doing this project, you know, and that information on traffic, safety, and anyway, if I was looking to make investments, that's what I'd like to see as I'm voting.
Certainly. There are full detailed workups, which are constantly being updated. There's been some great work by the folks in the Planning Department and Capital Projects Department to work up fact sheets. I don't know if they have been distributed yet, but those fact sheets will contain a scope of the project, impacts of the project, again, the estimated cost of the project, and benefits of the project.
Senator McKee, then Senator Mayfield.
I have two questions. The first one is for the borough attorney.
Okay. Mr. Sprouse.
As I recollect, there's a state statute that deals with capital project voting by the various service areas and what have you. Have these projects been put before you to determine whether they can be used as an area-wide or whether the voting would be restricted and the repayment to the service area itself? Has anyone put this to you?
I actually had a discussion with the chief of planning over this just a couple weeks ago, and in past years with Mr. Billifer about the quality and the standards of the roads, so they're well aware of the legal standards.
How about the voting? Would it be under state statute, would the voting be restricted to the service area affected by the road?
No, these would be area-wide transportation systems bonds, just like we've done before. I don't believe the proposal is service area bonds at all. That would be local service roads. These are greater system-wide transportation systems bonds.
Okay, thank you. Now, for my second question for that gentleman there. My understanding, and because it's in my district, is that Mokotan's, the entry and exit, still has not been resolved, the legality of it. The entry and exit through Garden Terrace, as I understand it, in fact, doesn't meet the National Highway standards, okay, for a entry and exit. The extension of Trunk Road did, but there has to be, there's supposed to be two points of access and exit. So if in fact that is a major area, the gentleman said ranch subdivision, why hasn't that been addressed in these projects, if that is in fact suspect, the access? And
through the mayor to Assemblymember McKee, I am not aware of a legal aspect that precluded our involvement or anything. I'm not sure, maybe the borough assembly can advise on that, the borough attorney, excuse me. But I am not aware, that is not something that I have focused on. The roads that you see there that we as staff have focused on are your collector roads and above, and exactly as the borough attorney mentioned, those are the roads that have been funded through area-wide and the bonds that we have done in the past. I'm not familiar, unfortunately, Mr. McKee, with that one. I can go research it and get back, but I don't have an answer for you on that.
Okay, so we got Assemblymember Doty, then Assemblymember Mayfield. And let's remember, I think we have a joint Assembly Planning Commission meeting specifically on road bonds coming up, so this is supposed to be a little briefer report.
Thank you, through the mayor. Thank you for staff and Mr. Moosey for an excellent presentation. I have a couple of things. I would like to see it prioritized based on safety and congestion, and a third factor, which is opportunity for economic development. If our roads are actually accessed to encourage light industry to come into the community, that's one of the things that gets looked at. So it's not just the quality of the schools and the access to the schools, it's also the quality of the business sites. And I'd like to see that priority because that would help make some decisions around this. The second thing I would like to see is a clear list of what the likely state and federal dollar projects might be and how that might be offset with what we've got here. Because you know, it's unclear where DOT monies are going to go. But I do know that they have some projects on the books, some of which are funded, and so I think we need to see that also to be able to look in comparison to make a good decision.
Okay, Senator Mayfield, and then we'll
thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually had my first question answered by doing a little simple math, but yeah, I note that Point McKenzie Road isn't on here, and it's a sorely needed project, so I'll just put in a plug for that. And that Point McKenzie, I think, is one of those areas that we're going to be looking forward to a lot of development out in that area. And already that road is held together by crack seal, and certainly won't sustain the timber or gas or LNG projects that are possibly on the horizon. So. That may be something you'll want to consider. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bilford. How are we doing? I guess we're pretty well wrapped up with that. Jessica Smith, congratulations on your top 40 award, top 40 women under 40. We really... I think it's under 40. What she can get done when she's over 40 is what we're going to be looking into. Thank you, fellas. Mr. Moosey, do you have anything further?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Spropolis, your report.
No report tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Madam Clerk.
The clerk's report with the upcoming meeting schedule and the quasi-judicial report is in your red folder.
Hear none, it is presented. We've got informational memorandums. Madam Clerk, please read the items into the record.
Item 18021, reporting a conclusion of contract for bid 1759B to Northern Asphalt for Horseshoe Lake Road paving. Item 1822, reporting of conclusion of contract for bid 167B to Dirt Works Incorporated for Seabiscuit Lane, Man of War Circle, Secretariat Drive, and Whirl Away Circle upgrades. Item 1823, reporting of conclusion of contract for bid 1813B to Western Construction Equipment LLC for Tambert Drive and Terrell Drive improvements. Item 18025, informing the Assembly of Lutic Manufacturing Contractors LLC request to exercise its option to terminate its lease of the Port District uplands by mutual agreement without giving a one-year written notice in exchange for surrender of its improvements upon the leased premises, MSB 002946.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And Assembly Member Leonard wants to comment on IM 18025.
Thank you, Mayor. Through the mayor to the manager, the couple questions I had were dealing with the environmental issues, if there may be. I know when I read the IM that there was some environmental investigation, but I was wondering what type of environmental investigation was done, and also whether or not, as we move forward, that can we put something into whatever sale document that if there is any environmental remediation discovered within a certain period of time, that the liability stays with the corporation where we're letting out of the lease, because I've been in a few projects where I found out a dump truck leaked and it cost a couple hundred thousand dollars to remediate. So I'm very attuned to potential environmental liabilities that pop up after a transaction is done.
Okay, we'll have Tracy McDaniel and Eric Phillips address that specifically. And we do have the attorney's office reviewing all agreements going forward, and we certainly take note, and I believe we have that provision in everything that we've done in the last 5 years.
Tracy, can I get you to turn the mic on?
Am I on? Okay, thank you. In reference to the memo that was attached with the IM, it talked about a small hydraulic spill on the concrete inside the building, and it was just staff that went out there and walked around due to the timing of the year. It was in December, around the middle of December, that we were out there looking at the building. So it looked like something that was easy to clean up. Eric went around to the outside where that station was at, and there was nothing that showed up outside of the building. As far as the lease termination, we were focusing more on the transfer of the improvements and the water rights being retained and the taxes that we will be paying the second half of 2018 taxes. So.
Okay, anything further?
Again, I would just suggest that as we look at the documents, that if there is a way for a certain period of time that we don't take on any environmental liabilities, especially during the middle of the winter when we can't really go around the building or underneath or anything like that, just a warning or a suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any, Senator Mayfield?
In light of Assemblymember Leonard's comments, and frankly, I agree, should we postpone this particular, no? I'm getting a no from the clerk, if we approve it, is there still the opportunity to put some anti-pollution language in the document?
Ms. Moosey, I'll turn it over to you.
I have one comment. Because this is a lease, we are the owners of the land. We are still responsible. We would be responsible for any spills, even if we were under a current lease with Alutic. It would be the lease document would drive the enforcement of remediation and cleanup. So it probably still doesn't answer your question. It would be after the fact, but we would still be involved regardless if we are in the lease, the current lease, or it's terminated. So,
well, these IMs are, these projects are completed, is my understanding. Is that correct, Mr. Spraplis? He's shaking his head.
No, Mr. Manager. Mr. McDaniel mentioned, and the manager mentioned, our office has been staffing, reviewing this agreement, and kind of helping, assisting land management through this process. So this informational memorandum is here today because the lease is unclear about the potential authority to accept early termination of the lease with less than 1 year notice. So the manager has presented it here tonight to the assembly, and unless there's objection, I think he's going to take that as consent and move forward with it. So that being said, it is still up to the manager if he wants to wait to be able to do a phase one or a phase two. It is still up to the manager as to what the terms and conditions of any transfer might be, whether there are holdover provisions in terms of environmental remediation. Maybe the lease terminates, except we insert terms that, because under the current lease, the tenant is responsible for any environmental remediation plus maintaining insurance for that. So we can certainly talk to them about having those terms continue for a period of years or until we can get some baseline data out there, depending on how we go. And that's the sense that I'm starting to get from the assembly here, but it's certainly, you know, within the manager's discretion to, you know, proceed forward in that manner.
Okay, well, we're just, are there any other comments on the other three IMs? Because you want to comment on this one, Assemblymember Sykes?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question for the manager. Is it your intent to go forward with some sort of provisions before you decide to actually make the transfer like we've been discussing?
Yes. So we have been working with the company for well over a year. This property was used to build modules and really kind of support the North Slope. What they are forfeiting is quite a bit of valuable improvements to the property. They could have removed the building and facilities at their cost, or resold those, and to handle the lease early with us retaining all the on-site improvements, we thought that was a value for us and a future tenant. That's why the decision was recommended. Also, too, for the type of work out there, there may be some stuff, but I think staff is pretty much of the mindset it's not a great risk with this operation being there. And so if we certainly thought there's some issues, and we've been working on this for probably 5 or 6 months, we would have looked at it differently. But we think with the leaseholder value that is going to come back to the borough, it would be in our interest to go ahead and accept this for really other development. It's an asset that we could turn around and lease or sell.
Okay.
I'd just like to follow up. It might be worth just going ahead and completing an agreement, but I would maybe say put a provision in to state that depending upon the results of an external survey when there's no snow on the ground.
Senator Mayfield, then we're going to wrap this up.
Through the mayor to the manager. So, and I read the IM, the AM.
Now, this is an IM.
IM, excuse me.
If you want direction from the assembly, you should bring forward the AM, not an IM.
But it mentioned that we could hold over the building and et cetera for release or sale or whatever. Do we have anybody in the market for this kind of facility? I guess my concern is as I read the document was that, you know, we could have an empty building sitting there for quite some time.
That is a possibility. They tried to flip the lease and they were not as successful as they would hope to be. I mean, they do not have business right now. They are looking, because they are in the oil industry, that sort of thing, and the market has really dropped the last couple years. They are really trying to cut their costs and that sort of thing, and to stay in business. It is an asset. It could be used also too with the our recent activity on the AK LNG project, on we're hearing on the ASAP project and that sort of thing, needing about 900 acres. We would really like to clean these type of things up when we're available to have ourselves open for that opportunity, because I guess our concern is going to be with this and a couple other businesses, if they have leasehold options and that sort of thing, and we need their approval, that's when we, you know, it's real easy for them to negotiate high, because, you know, if you're tearing down a city block and there's one holdover, that one holdover gets a lot more money just to complete the project. So when we see these opportunities coming forth, but yes, we have a tenant in mind for the next month? I can tell you no, and it could be a year or so. However, we do think it's a valuable asset for us, and also to reclaim that that lease.
Okay. Any further comments on the IMs? Seeing and hearing none, they are presented. There are no persons to be heard, no public hearings. We're at the point of time of audience participation. We have a sign-up list. We get 3 minutes, and we'll take other speakers if they wish after the sign-up list. Brian Endel.
Mr. Endel, can I get you to turn the mic on? Thank you.
Brian Endel. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Manager, members of the Assembly and staff for hearing me out on this air quality issue again. Most of the information has already been presented to the Assembly and, And so I'm just going to hit the high points here. I sent a letter out over the weekend. I hope you all had a chance to read it. I know Assemblymember Sykes has already received it and mentioned that he got it. So thank you, Madam Clerk, for sending that out. The first point is we need to identify that there actually is an air quality problem here, and that responsibility lays on the borough manager. The people aren't going to prove that for the borough. The borough has to prove that for the people. Remember, the borough works for the people. The people don't work for the borough. So that's point number one. Provide a reason why not to terminate this current agreement. I mean, let's do away with it if it's no good and if it doesn't do us any good. You know, is the DEC going to withhold funds? Is the EPA going to withhold funds? Let's provide some evidence. And that, again, lies on the borough manager. Identify your plan to use grant money. If we follow the Fairbanks example, Fairbanks uses grant money. What is your plan to use it? I want to know. The people want to know. We want to know how you're going to use those funds. Are we going to put more people in the borough? Are we going to hire more people because of it? Let's lay out those plans. Any other plans that you have with that situation too, let's put them on the table so the people can identify them. Be transparent. That was the last one on there. This went on the consent agenda twice. That's not right. It should have been introduced and given some time, especially after the first one where a lot of people called. So that's really all I had for that. I hope you consider what I've said and work for the people here. We're looking to see some information and documentation if you decide to move forward with this. Thank you. I'll leave it on for you.
Thank you. Tom Roberson.
Hi, thank you. My name is Tom Roberson. I'm retired from the National Guard. And I come to talk to you tonight about the renovation of the Wasilla High School pool. For months, I talked to the borough engineers and about the design of that. There's two flaws that were passed through, even though it's gone out for bid. There's two major mistakes that need to be corrected. One of them is it needs to have a drain system that the fire department uses. It's called a standpipe. A standpipe, all that really is a pipe that goes from the deep end of the pool out 12 feet underground and comes up by the parking lot, and it looks like a fire hydrant. It's not attached to the water main. It's separate like itself. The fire trucks can draft the water out of the pool, out of the deep end. That's all it does. And you need that because in a national emergency, and we'll have another earthquake, most hydrant systems fail. What other people don't realize, homeowners like the farm I live on, the water wells fail too. A lot of people don't realize how few people will have water after a major earthquake. So before I retired from the National Guard, I went all over the state videotaping emergency systems and things that need to be addressed. And one of them is the water. The pools that were built at Prudhoe Bay, Beryl, Bethel, even in Nikiski, where I was in the fire department, all those pools were plumbed so the fire department can draft water out in emergency. This didn't get, somehow it got left out. I've been talking to engineers about this at Wasilla Pool. This needs to happen. You can only do it when you're doing major construction. You can't come back a year later and dig the pool up again and run the pipe out. That's not going to happen. But its cost is minimal to do it now while the major construction is happening. And that has to happen. You use a 6-inch pipe. I always try to say a 12-inch pipe, plastic pipe. All it goes from the deep end out to the front parking lot. That's it. And there's a fire hydrant there. The fire department can do the rest. It has to happen for emergencies. When I was in Hurricane Katrina working there, we used the fire trucks to haul water to door-to-door to people's houses so they could flush toilets and things like that. That's the type of problem we have in a national disaster. And I'm trying to minimize those problems now and take the sting out of a crisis then by pre-planning now, sorry. The only other thing that didn't happen is the entranceway to the pool. It needs to be covered with benches on both sides. If you go into the Palmer pool, for example, they do have a bench about 20 feet long where people, especially mostly kids, take their shoes and boots off right there. It keeps the mess outside of the pool area and not in the locker room. It makes it a cleaner, neater environment. This did not happen in the the design of the Wasilla Pool. It needs to be covered. Do I turn into a bumpkin or what? Anybody got a question? Do you understand what I'm talking about with the standpipe?
I got you. Thank you.
And the covered walkway, mm-hmm. that needs to happen. Okay. Please call me or if I can help you. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Eugene Haberman.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I follow the public process. Public process is done appropriately. The decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. First, I would like to compliment Assemblymember Randall Kawaki for his statement at the last meeting, which he noted that he feels that he was not in compliance of the open meetings law when he attended a meeting in Juneau. I also would like to compliment the mayor for his providing additional information to that situation shortly after Randall's statement. But I am concerned with both the borough clerk and the borough attorney not confirming or denying the situation occurring. I'm also concerned that it was noted that four members were attended the meeting, but on the record, it was only noted that who those two members were, and it's unknown who the other two members were. Now, is this in compliance or not? We do not know. Assembly member feels he is. He was involved with a non-compliance at a meeting, but the borough is taking a public position of silence, not confirming or deny, and that's not the way to handle a review of announcing whether the borough is in compliance with the Open Meetings Act. Now, I'd like to know too is you have an items there on the agenda dealing with schedule of fees, 18-06, and another one with 18-008 tonight. I request that to give a fair chance for the public to comment that you delay approval of this and move to a later date so that the public has a fair chance to respond. Now, on comments I made at the previous meeting, I addressed concern on the action taken by the school board. Unless the amount was $200,000 or more, the school board did not have to review and approve illegal settlements. I called attention to that to the assembly. But was noted at the last meeting, the borough attorney noted concerning a lawsuit, I believe, dealing with the firemen, he noted that a similar thing is occurring. Well, there is a variation of how much money is required before the assembly, borough assembly, reviews and approves litigation. Again, I strongly discourage the situation, and all legal settlements need to be fully disclosed, and they need to be approved by the bodies, such as the borough assembly or the school board. And failure to disclose is keeping the public in the dark of who is responsible, the parties. And thank you very much, with 14 seconds to remain. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Murph O'Brien.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, Mr. Moosey, borough staff, and fellow residents. I am Murph O'Brien, and I am very excited both as a transportation professional that runs the local HDR office and as a 40-year resident of the borough that you guys are considering a bond issue, a road bond issue. $50 million in transportation projects will help us out significantly. We need big projects, we need small projects, we need projects that connect our subdivisions to our arterials and to our collectors. And many of the projects that are out there will do just this, that. The borough is still the fastest growing area in the state. And even though things have slowed down a little bit, it's still moving ahead. And we need to keep pace with our transportation improvements. If we don't, the traffic, the congestion, the connectivity will all fall behind. As a resident, I support the concept of a 100% borough-funded bond issue. I think that sends a clear message that we're stepping up to the plate and showing that we're willing to pay our fair share to keep us going in the right direction. And I think it's admirable. I think it's the only way to go. We can't wait for the state to come back with a state general fund program. A few years ago, there's $1 billion. In the last few years, there's been nothing. And if we wait, our road systems will lag behind and the needed projects that we need to build won't get done. The projects that have been floated all help out. They all deal with connectivity, with traffic and safety improvements, with safe routes to schools. And basically, you know, you cut down travel time and people tend to be happier. So again, I both support, as a resident, as a professional, your efforts, and I thank you for your consideration to push forward these road bonds. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bryan. Well, we've completed our list of audience participation. Anybody else wish to speak? Come on forward, sir.
Oh, hi.
Just state your name for the record. And...
Yeah, well, my name is Hon Ki Lee. I'm a computer programmer at Villa State. And I thought about this construction projects, and you know, I've been living in the Wasilla for a year and a half by now. And to be honest with you, I don't see any big problem with interconnectivity within Wasilla, but the big problem I see every day is the commute between Wasilla and Anchorage, you know, because most of us have a job in Anchorage. I work in Jebel, and so if you look at the map, there is the very, very short distance, maybe a mile and a half or 2 mile gap between Jebel and Port McKenzie, I think, you know? You know, so if you look at the map, okay, there's at the end of like this Wasilla and Anchorage, it's like, I think it's like 2 mile long, okay? If we build a bridge, okay, you know, get some like federal approval, whatever, because federal property, you know, Jebel, right? And I heard there are some opposition from the landowners of Anchorage because the land value in Anchorage will go down and land value will in Wasilla, that part will go up. So then our solution would be maybe allocate 50% of that part of Wasilla land, and so that Anchorage investors, landowners can invest some kind of preferential treatment for certain percentage, okay? And then they will come join us and, you know, agree with building a bridge so that, because this, we have only one way, one way in, one way out, right? But if we build that 2 mile bridge, okay? I also heard the concern about this huge silt deposit, so the bedrock is way down. I did some research, okay, and they build such bridge like all the time, okay. They build bridge over sands, okay. If you dig, you know, hammer it down, hammer the pile down deep enough, it won't go down any further, okay. That's how the engineers do it. They do that all the time, okay. So I'm not sure. Maybe it's too premature at this time to build a bridge. I'm not sure if the budget, you know, the cost justifies the benefit, because we are not San Francisco, right? So, yeah, but, yeah, so, yeah, that's what I want to bring up. So, thank you.
Thank you. We're Kinnikaran Bridge Project. I'm all for it. So, any other comments or participation? Come on forward.
I'm a little unprepared today. I wasn't aware that there's an assembly meeting every other Tuesday. I'm kind of new to all this. So, my name is Michael Fernandez. I'm sure you recognize my name. I've called you several times. Mr. Leonard, thank you very much. Everybody, thank you for hearing me. I'd like to call to attention the problem we're having in the Willow Wall subdivision. It's gotten way out of hand. I know that the borough does not have police enforcement capabilities, and there's very, very little that code enforcement seems to be able to do. It seems like they can issue citations to people who have created junkyards. There's people living in campers on the right-of-ways now for 6 weeks. A man across the street from this particular place I was talking about right now is I guess he was assaulted with a tire iron from someone doing meth. So I know we're all aware of the problems of Willowatts. No surprise. And what I'd like to call to attention is the fact that within a 6.6 mile radius, just about everything in Wasilla is available to it. It's a very convenient point to commute to Anchorage, is the Seward Meridian's right there. You got Wasilla Police Station's right across the lake. I mean, it's really kind of ridiculous. I think we've been just kind of cast aside because it seems to be a big problem for everybody to deal with it. But I think with maybe a little bit more energy and effort put into it, you know, you guys can see property values go up out there considerably. I'd like to mention that Brandy and Irvin Malkiewicz and Maple Homes has been buying up trailers and abandoned lots out there, putting up nice $180,000, $200,000 homes. You know, the problem remains, we have gypsy camps sprouting up left and right, and doesn't seem like anything is being done about it other than citations that don't mean anything to the people who are offending. So I'd like to see something. I'm sure you wouldn't want a trailer parked outside your house for 6 weeks in the right-of-way. I'm just saying, with people living in it, it's kind of garbage right next to a cluster box, mailbox, was vandalized. So some people on my street, rather, have had to go down to the post office annex for the last 4 weeks to pick up their mail. I don't know how all this works, but I did speak to a couple people today. I've spoke to Mr. Leonard a couple days ago, so I think if we put our heads together, we can figure something out. But I do plan on bringing more people here in the future so you can hear all of their problems, and I'll have the fancy presentations with the laptops and pictures so you can see exactly what it is that we're dealing with. And thank you for hearing me very much.
Well, thank you. I'd like to see that pictures and stuff sometime. Yeah. So please come back with your people and talk. So, anyone else? No, you've already spoken.
May I add to his comment?
No, please. Sorry. Unfortunately.
I'll see you later. Yeah. Mr. Mayor?
Senator Sykes.
Yes, I would invite the last speaker. We are having a assembly process to look at policing options, and there was actually a community council meeting out at Meadow Lakes, was it? A couple of weeks ago, the mayor was there, some member Kowalki, and it is a serious problem. It is all over the place, and it's going to take a lot of people talking about and looking at the solutions, but this is coming up in a couple months, and look forward to hearing from people on it.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to close out audience participation at this time. And let's move on to the consent agenda. Madam Clerk, please read the consent agenda into the record.
Resolution 18-6, a resolution to approve and adopt the fiscal year 2019 schedule of rates and fees effective July 1st, 2018. Resolution 18-7, a resolution approving a certain unincorporated communities and their incorporated nonprofit entity for participation in the fiscal year 2019 community assistance grant. Resolution 18-8, a resolution exempting borough departments from area-wide interdepartmental fees. AM 18-12, acceptance of late filed and retroactive senior citizen and disabled veteran exemption applications. AM 18-13, award a bid number 1883B to Ficklin Construction LLC in the contract amount of $142,609 for Mocatons Elementary School playfield improvements. AM 18-14, approved cost to Manuska Telephone Association in the amount of $144,851.76 for utility relocation on Lower Mesa, Audi Street, and Leah Street, project number 30036. AM 1815, awarded bid number 1866B to North Star Excavation and Asphalt Incorporated in the contract amount of $376,279 for Palmer High School locker replacement. AM 1816, approved utility relocation cost to NSTAR in the amount of $105,565.96 for Larry Trail, Darlene Trail, Alice Lane, and Mabel Trail improvements, project number 30047.
Thank you. Senator Beck, would you please move the consent agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Is there any objection from any assembly member? Seeing none, the consent agenda is approved. We have no unfinished business. There's no vetoes. Madam Clerk, please read the introductions.
Introduction for public hearing on March 20th, Ordinance 18-1, Ordinance 18-6, Ordinance 18-11 with accompanying Resolution 18-9, Ordinance 18-12 with accompanying Resolution 18-10, and for public hearing on April 17th, Ordinance 18-9.
Thank you. Senator Beck, please move the introductions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for March 20th, 2018 and April 17th, 2018, respectively.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, this legislation is introduced. Senator Beck, please move the vacancy report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to confirm the mayor's recommendations and resignations as follows. Emergency Medical Services Board, Chris Watches, John Fairchild, Kendra Teeple, resignation of Christopher Loscar, resignation of David Calvert. Enhanced 911 Advisory Board, Chris Watches, Joel Butcher. Historical Preservation Commission, Andrew, I'm butchering this name, Schweizall. Local Emergency Planning Committee, resignation of Alyssa Farr. Greater Talkeetna RSA number 29, William Fitzgerald. Trapper Creek RSA number 30, Donna Massey.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any objection to the vacancy report? Hearing no objection, it is approved. We have no other new business, no referrals, but we do have an executive session. Does somebody want to do comments now or wait till after executive session?
I have a comment now.
Okay. Senator Doty, let's start down with you. Or I guess do staff first. Mr. Spropolis? Any comments this evening?
No, sir.
Mr. Moosey.
Quickly, as requested, public records request for February 2018, we had 7. Fees collected, $38. Admin estimated staff costs, $436, plus additional 9 hours of law and review. But we made up for it today. We had 6 public separate public records requests today at number 6. So,
okay. Madam Clerk, now, Senator Doty, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of quick things. One is I would like an answer from legal when they get a chance about whether food trucks can be utilized on public property. It doesn't have to be right now.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The second thing is I wanted to really appreciate the nice presentations we've had and the public comments. The Willowa subdivision, I was just looking at the community councils. It looks like it's not currently included in a community council, hence the need to have all areas represented. And I'd really like to see a working group to try to address that area. I've had personal experience with a computer stolen from my car just across the street from that area. The computer was found in an abandoned car that was parked on my property across the street from that area, and it's an ongoing problem that's been there for several years. So working with the city of Wasilla, I think we could get some action going in that particular area. I'd also like to encourage ongoing work with this planning with capital projects and roads. I think there's been an excellent work with collaboration with both the capital projects department and the planning department, and I commend the borough staff for their efforts to work together to try to find some solutions to that. So thank you very much. A last comment. I wanted to thank the gentleman who was a former National Guard comments about the pools, and perhaps if Mr. Leslie could give us an additional number for those modifications, that would be very handy. I do think a disaster preparation is better than disaster relief, and if we can avoid something by having those resources, that would be a great idea.
Senator Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, I agree with Assemblymember Doty regarding Willowa and seeing what we can do to help with that situation. And with Assemblymember Sykes again on public safety and how we can help these areas where we know there are issues going on with drug use and what powers we do have or what enforcement tools that we have that we can use to help our citizens. So again, appreciate Mr. Ferguson, excuse me, Michael, for bringing this up and bringing more people to discuss this issue with Willowa. So thank you on that. I'd like to, again, discuss as we go forward with the strategic plans with the library, how the cities are brought in and working with the cities, because they are a large portion of the library users too, and I'd be interested in seeing how that works. I mean, I remember working at the City of Wasilla and how the network was very important, and I'd like to see that rolled into the plan somehow as we go forward, understanding that we're concentrating on the libraries that we have control of. But it's very important, I think, as we look as a strategic initiative going forward for libraries serving all our citizens, that all the users and groups are brought in. Then on the, I too appreciate the strategic, or not strategic, but the road bond information that we got today, potential bond, I should say. And as we go forward, the one other thing I'd like to see on those sheets are an estimate of when we do these, or if we move forward with it, what are the increase in operations that we think operational costs for doing these roads to our budget, and vice versa, what type of savings that we would receive from investing in these feeder roads. And that's all, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator McKee. Okay, Senator Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, fellow Assembly members. And thanks for the members of the public who came. I appreciated the presentations by both borough staff and the input from members of the public. In terms, I would like to ask the attorney if we can get a little clarification. You don't have to do it now, but we do know that we can create police service areas, and I'd just like to qualify whether we need a framework ordinance to allow this to happen, or if we can simply create a boundary and have the people of the PSA vote on it that wishes to get police service. I'd like to know what the options are.
You would have to create an ordinance with a framework on what the services to be provided by the service area, and then you would have to put it to the vote of the people to actually form it. The actual operation of the service area, just think about the road service area. When you look at the code, it says roads, streets, sidewalks, and related drainage. There's a whole lot that goes into running a road service area. I'm sure that Mr. Dolan could tell you it would be the same type of thing. It would be very basic language to be put to the voters, and then the boundaries of those areas would be up to whoever the sponsor of the ordinance was that moved it forward in consultation with either communities or other assembly members or management or however you wanted to approach it.
To be clear on the voters, are you talking about the voters within the proposed service area or all the borough voters?
If you were going to create police service areas, the vote to form the area would be only the people in the area. If you were going to adopt an area-wide or non-area-wide power, then that would be a either area-wide or non-area-wide vote.
Okay, thank you very much. I would like to mention on the transportation plan, there were two mentions of Engstrom Road, and I do know that the intersection of Engstrom and Bogart is being worked on, but I would have expected to see that. In terms of the road interconnection, I'd like to echo Assemblymember Leonard's concern that we understand the interconnectivity between subdivisions and how that is funded, because it used to be more of the expectation that the developer and the subdivision developer would handle the roads to a borough standard, and then that kind of went away, and I think that's contributed to some of our problems. So I'd like to understand that as well, and thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Senator Crockey.
Yes, I particularly also like to thank the library group for their presentation. The mayor and I are both seriously involved in the activity at Willow and have been supporters of that project, and we're working in every angle we can to augment the $1.7 million grant that we received from the Matsu Health Foundation. We realize some additional monies need to come forward in order to break loose some of the other foundation money, but we're working on that. But again, thank you. Regarding the gentleman from Wellawa, I share your pain. Assemblymember Leonard and Mayfield and I all co-supported a resolution that was unanimously approved to do away with the catch and release system that was a result of Senate Bill 91. We're on this. I have issues in my neighborhood. So we're in this unenviable position of trying to decide how much our fellow neighbors are willing to pay to solve this, because ultimately that's going to be the answer, or require the troopers to do their jobs in these unincorporated areas. So my personal intention is to continue to try to put pressure on the folks in Juneau. The service area ideas you've just all heard discussed are going to be a challenge, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to get over that hurdle, but it isn't because we don't want to. And I'd like to thank everyone for attending this evening. Have a safe trip home.
Thank you. Senator Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I appreciated the presentation on the libraries today. Libraries are an integral part of our society, making our society a healthy society. So, and I know I've had that discussion with Joe many times, and I'm in support of libraries to the best of my ability, and within a balance of revenue that we have on hand and that kind of thing. Certainly, I am interested in some follow-up on how much resources would be involved in meeting that staffing plan for libraries, and so I think we have to look at that in the future. Maybe that's not something we can attain right away, but maybe it's also something that we can work towards. So I appreciated the discussion on crime. Also, Assemblymember Kowalki took every single word out of my mouth in regards to that, and so I won't repeat that, but certainly he and I are on the same page in regards to crime and seeking some solutions to that, and urging the state to really live up to their obligations to the public for public safety. And my own personal opinion is they're failing to do that at this point in time. I'm looking forward to approval of 18-006, which is in regards to the borough accepting a conservation district out in Settlers Bay from the Great Land Trust. I think this is just an awesome plan and opportunity for us, and thank you for coming here tonight. The road bond package, I think we need to develop a list that's not only needed, but when you're dealing with the voter element of approval on a road bond package or any bond package, you need to make sure that there's something for everybody. And honestly, I didn't see a lot there for the voters of my district who would be asked to pay that fee. So there's always a balance, and sometimes it gets tipped, but we do have to look at how many ornaments we have on the Christmas tree, so to speak. So thank you. Have a good evening.
Senator Beck.
I'm looking forward to the road bond package coming forward, and I can't say anything that hasn't really been said, but I guess I disagree a little bit about the ornament on the tree thing. I think it's a need-based activity, and so I expect, as has been said, that a priorities list is going to come to us, and we all benefit from it regardless of whether or not it's in our district or not. I really like the idea from Mr. Robertson about thinking about disaster preparedness with the pools, so I'd also encourage Mr. Leslie to look at that. I'm sure you will, and if we need to reappropriate or appropriate some money for what that might be, I'd like to know the cost of that. That sounds like a pretty sensible thing. I think you're doing the right thing as well, sir, with regards to being a part of the conversation with crime. It's a major problem here in the borough. We've had the discussion, and we are going to continue to have the discussion, and so I'd be very interested in what people have to say and encourage them to come and continue to talk to us, because we're working on that as diligently as we're able to within the confines of this group here in this body. I was excited for the library people to come here. I'm not embarrassed to say I was a library aide in high school for many years. I loved it. My undiagnosed or self-diagnosed OCD is in love with the Dewey Decimal System. It always made me feel very good to see those books in order and the numbers, and when they weren't, I loved putting them in order. It's just this weird thing about me, so I wanted to say that earlier, but it just saved it for the comments. So. And plus, I had my physical today, and I found out a new term I never heard. I'm now entering my mortal stage of life, which means I'm more likely to die of a disease than I am an accident. So that was kind of fascinating. Thank you to the partner. Wonderful. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
Where am I?
God, now that he's in his mortal stage. Well, he certainly wins best comments of an assembly member tonight, so we appreciate that. I have a little humor. So, you know, when we went down the Juno to AML, we met with the governor, we met with our legislative delegation, and we were pushing crime every step of the way. It doesn't seem like anybody's listening, though, because nothing's happening. In 2005, we had 72,000 people in the Mat-Su Borough, and we had 50 troopers. Now we have 105,000 people and we have 30 troopers, you know, so we're just flat going the wrong direction. They cut the court system's budget off. They've cut the district attorney's budget down. They've cut the prison's budget down. It just seems like when you're talking about crime, it's a backwards way to do it. But, you know, I think the borough is going to have to pay some attention, whether we have to do it legally to get police powers or to introduce the police service areas to the voters and just see if they're interested in doing something like that. The cost is always significant. I am a huge supporter of libraries. I can tell you that right now. I'm looking forward to having some funding in this budget for the Willow Library, that project. And the reason really is to let the Mat-Su Health Foundation know that we respect them for their contribution of well over $1 million to that library project. And you know, road bonds, the way it worked in 2012, it was successful, $64 million, was that there was some parity. You know, there's about 15,000 people in each assembly district, to tell you the truth, so it's a fairly equal ball game. And like the rec band had something for a lot of different areas, and that is what attracts the voters. And so I think it'd be very wise to make sure you do that if you want the bond to pass. And there is good projects to be spread out over the borough. So I hope we do that when we looked at them. There are some high congestion areas, though I realize that needs to be prioritized. So we don't want to forget that either. And so we're going to, I'll just say, you know, it's been a pleasure to work on the school funding, where we have that ordinance coming before us, and the tax cap. I think it's a time to review and look at things. So we're doing a lot of things in this next month or two that are very important for the borough's future. To maintain school funding in a time when, you know, growth is kind of leveled out in Juneau is, I think, a statement for the borough and the state of Alaska. You know, it is the function of the state to fund schools. That's their primary function. And we're here to assist. And to do the best we can to assist our schools and our local population. So I hope we could come up with something that is flexible and works for all and meets our standards. So with that, we're going to go into, and I want to thank our borough staff for all the work they do and behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see. And I just want you to know, as mayor, I really do appreciate it. To see the presentations you do and the reports and things like that, and to come forward and handle questions and on the spur of the moment, thank you very much. So with that, we're going to go into executive session. It's to discuss union contract negotiations, and I'll have Assemblymember Beck please move us into executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to enter into executive session for matters which the immediate public knowledge of, which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough, and matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be kept confidential, and to discuss matters involving consideration of borough records that by law are not subject to public disclosure, and discussion of matters subject to the attorney-client privilege, in particular to discuss union contract negotiations. Those present in executive session will be mayor, members of the assembly, manager, attorney, clerk, HR director, deputy manager, finance director, and the negotiation attorney?
Yes, via phone.
Via phone.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
Okay, and whoever the borough.
Okay.
Danielle Ryman. Thank you.
Any discussion? Any objection to entering executive session? Hear no objection. We'll enter executive session at.
Can we take a 5-minute break, Mr. Mayor?
7:45. 7:45. 35. Off record.